The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Can San Antonio become a bike city? What's keeping that from happening? How far are we from becoming that bike city? What does that mean as a goal? What would that look like? Why is this something worth working towards? What we do know that right now, biking in San Antonio is not as safe as it should be. Too many people are dying trying to lead the way, and promises are being made at City Hall about a bike-friendly future San Antonio. But are those promises going to be acted on? We shall see. We're talking about a bike future for San Antonio, our bike safety and infrastructure. Lots of ways for you to join our conversation. Call in at 210-614-8980. And you can email us with your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. Tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this hour with Linda Alvarado-Vela. She is a Planning and Public Involvement Program Manager at the Alamo Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, the AAMPO. And Linda, welcome to The Source.
Hi, David. Thank you for having me.
Jeff Moore is here. He is a leader of the SATX Social Ride. Jeff, good to have you.
Pleasure to be here.
Robert Brevard, Bob Brevard, a cyclist and editor of the Brevard Report. Bob, good to have you.
Thank you, David.
And Art Reinhold, he is the interim deputy director of the City of San Antonio's Transportation and Capital Improvements Department. Art, good to have you here.
Thanks, David.
Let's start off with a voicemail. We've been getting a lot of social interaction on this story already. This is from Janelle.
Hi, I'm Janelle, the director of Bike San Antonio. We're a nonprofit bike advocacy group. We've spoken with many people close to Tito who've expressed their sadness, anger, and disappointment in how the city has failed to build a safe and interconnected bike network. We've listened to many cyclists who say they're frustrated and scared biking in San Antonio, and they don't want to hear about yet another cyclist killed on our streets. In places that have safe bike lanes, up to 50% of all trips are by bike. A nationwide study found that 53% of people want to bike more, but are concerned about their safety. Investing in lower pollution and higher capacity infrastructure projects measured per person, not per car, will be better for our future, the population, and the environment.
Voicemail from Janelle, and she mentioned Tito Bradshaw. Jeff Moore, leader of the SATX Social Ride. The loss of Tito has been felt by many in San Antonio. Can you talk about how that is helping lead and maybe bring about a new era of biking in San Antonio?
Yeah, absolutely. It's and it kind of goes back to before Tito. Losing Tito, he was a larger-than-life figure. But just a couple weeks before that, we also lost a prominent surgeon who was riding his bike in broad daylight and was killed by a suspected drunk driver. So the community's left with a lot of despondency and despair, a lot of frustration. Some of it's unchanneled, but a lot of it is channeled. And we're seeing a lot of things happen, like the Ride to Live Fund, which is coming up, going to be kicked off this Tuesday. The city itself has responded very positively. A lot of the elected officials have stepped up and responded positively as well.
Bob Brevard, the loss of Tito, and the biking community trying to make sure that that loss is going to mean something. What do you think?
Right. You don't ever want to waste a crisis. And I think Tito's death definitely showed everyone in the community exactly what's at stake here, not just for people on bicycles, but people on their own 2 feet, people on scooters. Anybody that's not in a moving vehicle is at risk in our city at a level that is unacceptable. And I think that creates an environment now for us to make a concerted appeal to elected officials and to our city staff to say it's time to move beyond vision, beyond aspiration, and to implementation of the 2011 San Antonio Bike Plan, which remains a document on a shelf that has never been implemented.
Linda Avalada-Vela with the Alamo Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. You know, our caller, Janelle, the voicemail talked about the desire of many in San Antonio that if we were able to create a safe riding environment, that they would use the streets. Is this something that the AAMPO embraces?
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree more with what Jeff and Bob both said. I think as a planner, to me, what it's about is protecting our most vulnerable roadway users. But I would say that our challenge is a little bit different. I feel like we have some good elected officials who get it. I feel like we have staff who gets it. My appeal would be to the 79% of drivers out there, people that commute to work every day in a car who may not get it. As someone who has ridden my bike to work, I know what it feels like when a car is passing you by at 45 miles per hour and doesn't give you at least 3 feet. A lot of people don't, and that's the challenge that we face, is that when you're talking about putting in a bike lane, it sometimes means affecting a travel lane. And for drivers, that's something that they may or may not understand. But what I would say to them is that it's about protecting those folks that are most vulnerable in a crash. If someone gets hit and they're on foot, on a scooter, or on a bicycle, and they get hit by a vehicle, it's going to have really dire consequences. So if we can provide a safe place, a safe, protected, connected bike lane for those individuals, it makes it safer for them. It makes it safer for drivers as well. And we create a better community while we're doing it.
Art Reinhart with the City of San Antonio's Transportation and Capital Improvements Department. Can you talk about where are we in trying to have a bike-friendly San Antonio?
Well, first, I'd like to just comment. I know we're here to talk about bike safety, but I'm glad the panelists brought up just general traffic safety. And that's really why the City of San Antonio adopted Vision Zero in 2015, focusing on all modes. And so as we continue to implement projects, we do follow the city's complete streets policy from 2010. And Bob mentioned the 2011 bike master plan. And so we have been able to implement bike facilities. We have actually over 200 miles of bike facilities in San Antonio, including bike lanes, which is the distance from here to Houston if you put it all together. So there's quite a bit. The problem is they're fragmented and they're spread out. And we're essentially out of the low-hanging fruit to be able to implement. And now we're looking at large-scale capital projects to implement those projects, which is a challenge. It's easy to talk about and write about, but actually building the projects is where we're at now, and that's where we really need to have the robust community conversation.
So what's the challenge?
The challenge is when we're on a roadway doing a project, working with, there's three types of stakeholders. There's the stakeholders that live along the project or maybe have a business along the project, and then those that pass through the project, and then there's just the general community as well. So working through those challenges is what we've been doing over the last several years.
But so the challenge is that people see this as a zero-sum game, that putting in a bike lane means taking away asphalt from some other sort of transportation.
In instances, that is a challenge. But what we know as city transportation planners and engineers is as we continue to grow, we can't just do it by the 79% of people that drive alone to work. We have to look at other modes. And so that's why we're focusing on whether it's bike facilities or working with VIA to create that mode separation.
But there is the vision that if San Antonio could do better in that area, that more people would be using those bike lanes. It's not like we're building bike lanes for no one. When they build them, they will be used.
That's exactly right. And one of the challenges at a project level is when someone says no one's there biking, well, there's no facility there.
Okay, we're going to take this break. When we come back, we'll get to the phones. We'll get some more emails, voicemails on the air. We're talking about San Antonio's bike safety and infrastructure, San Antonio's bike future. Where do you want to see the investment in this area? Have you heard their promises? Do you think they're going to be fulfilled? What needs to happen in order to do that? Are you thinking about San Antonio's bike future when you go vote on Saturday? The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about bike safety and infrastructure. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. And this is a voicemail from Russell, a board member for the Bike San Antonio.
We've been given various technical challenges as to why we can't have protected bike lanes in some places where we want them or for the length that we want them. And I understand that there are various technical challenges. However, the city has had a complete streets initiative in place for 8 years, I believe, and we really only have four short sort of token protected bike lanes that don't really go any significant distance or connect different parts of the city. So how or can the planners offer us anything to know that they're putting us on par priority-wise with other traffic flow priorities?
And so let's go to Art Reinhardt. He is the interim deputy director for the City of the San Antonio's Transportation and Capital Improvements Department. So is that voicemail, is it looking at the situation accurately? Is it really that pathetic?
Well, I wouldn't say it's pathetic. The fact is we have done a lot. There are four different protected bike facilities out in the community that Russ mentioned. The problem is they're spread out. There's one down at Port SA. There's one about to open up in the medical center about 2 miles long. We've proposed another one as well. So the challenge we're having is we're over 500 square miles in San Antonio. That's larger than the city of Los Angeles. So it's a large area we're dealing with. But certainly we have the technical expertise, the know-how. Having that community conversation is where we're at now.
And Linda Avalado-Vela with the Alamo Area Metropolitan Planning Organization.
We've made a lot of progress in terms of our bike culture, but our infrastructure, I would say, is still not where it needs to be. But I would argue that part of that is it's up to us, the citizens. And if you look at South Flores as an example of where you put in a bike facility, a really great bike facility, but then you had community pushback on that and a lot of pressure on our elected officials, again, who I think get it. Councilwoman Villagran is an advocate for bicycle facilities. And so, you know, but you have a lot of other citizens that had concerns. And so how do we as a community work through that so that we also, that we recognize those concerns, but we recognize that the safety of people comes above some of those concerns. And that is a community conversation that needs to happen, and it needs to be brought to the forefront. Because I will tell you, as a planner, I look at Strava data on South Flores, and it is lit up. There are people using South Flores all the way from south of downtown up to north of downtown as a commuting corridor. Because we looked at it for our Energizer stations that are happening for Bike to Work Day on May 17th to find and place those locations, and that's where our commuters are. So that would have been a great place for that bicycle facility, but unfortunately, we had a lot of pressure to take it out, and that is not on city staff, it's not on elected officials. We have to recognize it's a community conversation that needs to take place, and we need to start placing the safety of people over the convenience of vehicles.
And so, Bob Brevard, there are members on city council who say they are biking advocates. They talk a good game. Do you think, though, when it comes to making those votes, that they get a little wobbly and somehow don't vote with their convictions, or what do you think happens?
Well, no one has been a more passionate advocate for safe cycling than District 5 City Councilwoman Shirley Gonzalez, and she doesn't just talk the talk, she walks the walk, and she lives on her bike. However, if we look at the city as a whole, I think we need to be candid and give ourselves a failing grade, particularly if we compare ourselves to other American cities. As the decade of downtown comes to a close, we're still kind of where we were in 2011. That master plan at the time cited 210 miles of bike lanes. I would challenge that if they were audited. Quite a few of those are impeded bike lanes with vehicle parking and other impediments. And it called for 1,800 miles of bike lanes. So we're really kind of where we were in 2011. We don't have an integrated network of safe cycling, and we're really not moving toward it. And I think rather than pat ourselves on the back for what we've accomplished here and there, we need to say that at least in the urban core and then in the economic nodes identified in SA Tomorrow, like Port San Antonio or Brooks or the medical center, those are the areas we need to focus on at first. We're not going to do all 500 square miles, but certainly in the urban core, north, south, east, west, there should be an integrated network of safe cycling lanes. We're not moving toward that. Something dramatic is going to have to change in order for us to get there.
And Jeff Moore with the SATX Social Ride, what's it like out there on the streets of San Antonio? I mean, tell us what it's really like.
So it depends on what part of town you're in and what time of day is, you know, how safe or how dangerous it really is. We find that we started riding downtown about 10 years ago. Downtown was very empty. It was like an empty movie set, and you'd see a few other cyclists, but no traffic at all. And that's changed dramatically, the downtown area, in the last 5 years. The growth, the demographic shift to downtown.
It's got a pulse.
It's got a real pulse. And that's brought a lot more vehicles, and it's brought a lot more bike riders. So a lot of people are living downtown, and they're paying a premium to live in a bikeable and walkable community. And so we're seeing it from both ends. We've got more bike riders, and we've got more cars. The streets are still the same. So there has to be some kind of give there.
All right, we're getting some callers here. We've got to try and have the interactive part of the program moving forward. I know everyone wants to jump in on this. So Ricky, hi, Ricky. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the cycling culture that everybody's speaking about. And the reason I want to talk about that and the safety is because since we're all seeing the safe cycling infrastructures, you know, the progression is at a crawl. Maybe we just got to get, I'm thinking with this push of the death of Dr. K and Tito, that we can use this to not just put up flyers, but to try to reach a broader audience, you know, get to that person who's running late all the time and in a rush, you know, maybe get some commercials out, because nobody's going to stop and read poster boards or billboards all the time. They should be staring at the road, paying attention to where they're going, hopefully.
Ricky, thank you for that. So what can we do to educate motorists out there until the meantime, until we get protected bike lanes, that they need to watch out for drivers? And so, Jeff?
Yeah, and Ricky's totally right. And I'm pretty sure that the average person in San Antonio doesn't have a real accurate idea of what the cycling culture is and what these people are. And within our own group, we have, you know, the main age group is from 30 to 40, and then it's closely followed by 40 to 50, and then 20 to 30. So we have a very wide range of ages. Ethnically, the bike groups are broken down just like San Antonio is. Gender-wise, surprisingly enough, it's almost 50-50 with our group. It's about 46% female to male. And as far as professions, we have cyclists who are ranking military officers. We have a lot of retired military people. We've got professionals. We've got professors, surgeons, doctors, welders, you name it. These are people that belong in the community. They're from all different parts of the community. They're the people that go to your churches, your schools, that teach your kids, that feed your kids, that do all sorts of things. And they're not, the cyclists on the road are not people that are taking chances. They're very vulnerable. They know they're vulnerable, and they're as careful as they can be.
All right. And okay, so Linda Alvarado-Vela, real quick.
Yeah, so I just want to bring in a concept called latent demand. So in traffic, we talk about latent demand, and that's like when you open up a new road that used to be congested, all of a sudden there's new drivers that come on. I would argue with the folks that think that, oh, it's just a group of cyclists. There's not that many of them. There's
only a
few.
Kooks.
It's a bunch of kooks. If you want to see the latent demand for bicycle lanes in our community, look at Ciclovia. We have thousands upon thousands of people that hit the streets with their bikes. Those aren't bikes that they just found somewhere. Those are bikes that they have there ready to use if there was just a safe facility for them to do so, because most people aren't going to feel comfortable in the same lane as a car.
All right, I'm going to go to a caller. Mary Elizabeth. Hi, Mary Elizabeth. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I wholeheartedly agree with Ms. Linda. Education is what I would say we should start with. I think the motorists are not of, to their own fault, are ignorant to the laws, to the cycling laws, and some cyclists as well. So I think a great push for education. I think that the media should take their part. And when you do your traffic reports, you should put a little blurb about the 3-foot law or any of the many laws. Don't park in a bike lane, those sorts of things. That would go a long way into educating folks. I think signage is necessary. I think it's long overdue. We're classified as a vehicle as well. So I believe that signage notifying folks of our laws and corresponding laws should be proliferated around the city. I believe that police enforcement is long overdue. I think that if we had police on frequently traveled roads, like a speed trap sort of situation, it would be phenomenal.
Okay. So Mary Elizabeth, thank you for the call. I think we got the point there. A lot of good ideas. Art Reinhart with the City of San Antonio Transportation and Capital Improvements Department. Is this something that the City of San Antonio is taking up, trying to educate motorists about the equal rights that bikes have, but also the inequality and the vulnerability of bikes have on the road?
Yeah, so certainly the caller touched on multiple things. And what she indicated, there's no single fix. And through our Vision Zero program, we've adopted what we call our 5E approach. Education is a key component of that, but we also have to look at our engineering practices. We also do work with SAPD on enforcement. There's the evaluation component as well. So at any point, we have to look at multiple tactics to try to get the message across. And what we're ultimately dealing with is behavior. Whether you're on a bike or a scooter or driving behind a wheel, we're all making choices.
But still, at the end of the day, there's no substitute for protected bike lanes, which we really don't have.
We do have some. And really, the key thing is getting them separated. We know there's no true protection when you're talking about being on a road with a 2,000-pound object with a person behind the wheel. So that's what we really look at, is trying to separate from that traffic flow.
Okay, and Bob Rivard, do you want to join on that?
Yeah, I would just say that we sort of need a clarion call here in the wake of these tragic deaths to get a commitment, which I've heard from both of the major candidates for mayor in the debates, and to get a commitment from our new city manager, Eric Walsh, who has joined the Live to Ride committee, which is a very encouraging sign. And to get a commitment from the city council that we'll see seated after Saturday's elections, that they're willing to take some tough decisions, which require some political backbone, because there are people that do not want to see the status quo change. They want the streets and highways to principally be for moving vehicles. They don't want share the road, which is the law of the land. It's difficult to impose change without standing up to people that don't want change. And I think that's where we're at right now. And I think the Art Reinharts of the world face a very difficult challenge. Education is part of it, but not everybody can be happy with making it a better, more different city, and frankly, a safer and more, something we haven't talked about, a more sustainable city.
Right. Sustainability is part of this as well. But to the point about the two leading mayoral candidates, the incumbent, Ron Nirenberg, has said he wants it to be the priority. And is that something that we've actually seen?
I'm going to say no, that there's a real disconnect between the rhetoric and the actuation. And I'll read you the first two lines of the 2011 master plan that the city adopted. The time is now, San Antonio. That was 2011. The time is now. Our city is ready to become one of the premier places for bicycling in the United States. That is a very high aspiration. I'm ready to see our elected officials and our professionals at the city carry that through and make it happen. And I think it'll be a better San Antonio for all of us if it does.
Jeff, really quickly, can you give us a capsule on what is Bike to Ride?
Ride to Live.
Ride to Live.
So that's it's the brainchild of Lorenzo Gomez, the chairman of Geekdom, and what he did with the tech block, giving the tech community a voice at the table, is what he's trying to do, what he's doing actually with the cycling community. So bringing together the expertise in fundraising from the San Antonio Area Foundation and the 80/20 Foundation, we're going to look at some solutions and move forward with some practical solutions for the cycling community.
All right, we're taking a break. We'll be right back. We're talking about bike safety and infrastructure here on The Source. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this break.
Voting rights activists say Texas purposefully makes it difficult to cast a ballot.
Whether it's the voter ID, whether it's the redistricting, whether it's other cases in the past where there is plain discrimination, but it's more than that. It's with intent to discriminate and dilute the Latino vote.
Next time on Fronteras, a conversation with Lidia Camarillo, president of the Southwest Voter Registration Project. Download Fronteras wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about bike in San Antonio. Can San Antonio become a bike city? Got a bunch of emails here. One from Matt. I have ridden my bike across entire states, but Texas is a different animal. Drivers as well as poorly planned road systems are the main reason. Even if I want to ride that much, it would be extremely difficult here. I believe San Antonio could be a great biking city. From Blake, I am more of a mountain biker and often ride my bike from Stone Oak to McAllister Park. Luckily for me, we have ever-expanding Howard Peak Greenway system. I use that often. I know it takes a lot of planning and work and money to create Greenway trails. They sure seem beneficial to the city's culture, fitness, and safety in the long run. From Matt, another Matt in, I love the linear creeks for bike commuting because they are completely separate from vehicular traffic and I don't have to stop at intersections. From Greg, I'm a commuter cyclist here in SA. I use the sidewalks to avoid becoming a victim of vehicular manslaughter. It takes more time because I stop and give wide clearance to pedestrians, but I do arrive alive. And from Jeff, many of us live within riding distance of a trail or trailhead, but are hesitant and wary or scared to make the trek because of the dangerous road conditions, because of inattentive, distracted, and even aggressive drivers. When motorists devalue the lives and safety of cyclists, it affects all cyclists. Their number to call in to join the conversation, 210-614-8980. Let's go to Lee. Lee, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I was in a situation where I was driving where there was bike lanes, and I was going at a traffic light. I had the green light, and the bicyclist had the red light. The bicyclist blew right through the traffic light without stopping and practically hit it, had slammed on my brakes. Had another incident, same thing, except this was at a stop sign. I was stopped and started to proceed through the intersection, and the bicyclist blew right through the traffic line. If, you know, I feel like bicyclists also need to obey the traffic laws if they're riding in the streets.
Lee, thank you for the call. Let's go to Jeff Moore, leader of the SATX Social Ride.
Yeah, well, Lee's absolutely right. Bicyclists do need to follow the law, the rules of the road. And I ride with 200, 300 cyclists every week. And I can say that by far, the majority of cyclists are very cognizant of the law, and they do ride by the law. They're very vulnerable. They need to do that. But there are a few. There's 5% or so that are going to take chances. They're out there. They're not riding wisely. They're not riding safely at all. And that gives us all kind of a black eye right there. But I can assure you that's a very small percentage of the cyclists. And just like with vehicles, you know, there's a small percentage of vehicles that don't use their turn indicators, that take illegal turns, aren't driving by the letter of the law. We don't generalize cyclists, vehicle drivers the same way we generalize cyclists when we see one or two people, the bad apples out there. So,
all right. In 2016, San Antonio went to the polls, voted on a big bond package, and part of that bond package, there was talk of complete streets and including bikes in these new proposals. It was passed overwhelmingly. Are we getting what voters were told that they were going to get? Bob Rivard with the Rivard Report, have you written about this, particularly on Broadway, but there are other avenues as well.
Yeah, I think there's been a quiet, not necessarily visible to the public, but day-to-day struggle between the different interests over whether Lower Broadway will have protected bike lanes, whether South Alamo from along Hemisphere and beyond, and whether Presa and Roosevelt, which this truly creates an integrated north-south all the way from Mission San Jose up to the Museum and Arts District on Broadway. I mean, that's the possibility here if we do it right. But there are development interests that want on-street parking everywhere, that don't want bike lanes. And for the average individual, the average voter, they don't know how to lend their voice to that debate to show that they want safe streets, that they want to bike, but they won't do it unless there's safe bike lanes put in.
So we're going to get everyone a chance to respond to all this and dive deep into that, but I want to explore a little bit more of what you said about parking, street parking. Are we losing bike lanes, particularly on Broadway, a protected bike lane,
to parking for like all those new apartments?
Well, an impeded bike lane to me where there is parking is more dangerous than no bike lane. And here's the reason why. Let's just say you turn out of the Pearl and you're riding south on Broadway and you encounter vehicles. The vehicle traffic that's riding alongside you, driving alongside you, they think there's a bike lane there. And suddenly you've got to dart out into their lane to avoid parked vehicles. They're not expecting you, and you're putting yourself at greater risk, and then you're supposed to dart back into the bike lane when you find no parked cars in front of you. That just creates a terrible situation, but that's what's happening all over the city where there's bike lanes where parking is allowed, not just on Broadway.
Okay, but on Broadway, I mean, it seemed like this is the opportunity to create a showcase complete street for San Antonio to illustrate how well this could be. I mean, we could live it, we could see it, it could be there, and it could inspire many more to ride and to fight for this type of infrastructure in the city of San Antonio. So do you feel that this is something that has to be done at a certain level?
I do. I think you've got to bury the utilities, widen the sidewalks, put in bike lanes, create more tree canopy, more comfortable shading for people that are taking buses so that more of us use mass transit, particularly in the hot summer months. And I think you'll create a street that attracts countless numbers of locals and visitors alike, and therefore creates economic development, which is also something that we want by creating an urban environment that's more attractive.
So we're going to go to Linda Alvarado-Vela, and then we'll get Art Reinhardt an opportunity to go on about responding to all these concerns. But let's go to Linda. Go ahead.
I agree with everything that Bob said. I think the trouble with Broadway is that there are so many different interests. And as someone who has worked in public involvement for a long time, it's always about weighing those different things. And I know it's a very challenging thing. But I don't think that curb cuts for Uber and Lyft, no matter how valuable those services are, because I do think they're part of our transportation system, I don't think those should be weighed over the safety of vulnerable roadway users personally. As in terms of the MPO, it's not something that we're able to necessarily take an opinion on. It is a city project, and so I know that they're working through that process. But right now, that does appear from at least the designs that I've looked at is it's not an issue of whether you're widening the sidewalks or adding the bike lanes. You need both. You need wide sidewalks and you need protected bike lanes. You don't necessarily need those curb cuts because Uber and Lyft will find a place to drop their customers off, and I don't think that's something that we should be accommodating within our public right-of-ways.
Art Reinhardt is the interim deputy director for the City of San Antonio's Transportation and Capital Improvements Department. So let's go overall, like broadly over, and then we'll get to Broadway. The 2016 bond package, a lot of talk about bike lanes and bike protection. Is that in there?
Yeah, so, you know, the $850 million voter-approved bond program, about $450 million is for streets specifically. And as mentioned earlier, we have a complete streets policy. So when we start out every street, we're looking at complete streets and trying to implement what's feasible. Now, I do need to comment on Broadway itself, and I think we could spend a whole different show on that.
But maybe we will.
Yeah. So the challenge is, so the Broadway project itself is about 3 miles long. That's from downtown all the way to Hildebrand. And about 2 miles of that has bike lanes in the current schematics and in protection to some extent. The challenge we're having, and I agree 100% on the things that people want, as Bob and Linda mentioned, we want bike lanes, we want sidewalks, we want the trees, we want all of that. The problem is there's no room. And so when you're talking about areas that are 70 to 75 feet wide of right-of-way, that's not much wider than your typical residential street now. And so the challenge is trying to fit all of that in there so folks still have a complete street. When you look at trying to fit a bike lane, you're really impacting sidewalk width. We have a huge problem with pedestrian safety. So you're talking about having sidewalks downtown less than 10 feet wide with trees in it and utilities and et cetera. So that's just one challenge. Then we look at the challenges of the drop-offs, things like that. We are already taking away a travel lane for vehicles. If we take another lane away, there's no other place for those vehicles to stop. So they stop in that travel lane and impact everything else. So there's a whole variety of factors. But the bottom line is we're looking at it as a corridor approach. There's two parallel streets. You have Avenue B and you have Alamo in that lower section, less than 400 feet away with a tenth of the vehicle volume. And we're looking at trying to put something dedicated and beautiful along those railways to fill the entire corridor as a true multimodal corridor approach.
But I sat in here, we did programs about the pitch for the bond program in 2016. We were shown very pretty drawings of protected bike lanes, and we were told this was going to be part of the Broadway package. How is this not some sort of bait and switch?
It's absolutely not. And in fact, specific to Broadway, about 2 years went into the planning for that project. There was an effort led by Centro, a study that was done. Folks on this very panel were part of that. And a grand vision was laid out for Broadway and what it would be. And that's what the voters approved.
And so really quickly, I see Linda wanted to jump in on this really quick. Yes, and now you're grimacing.
So the only thing I would say is this, is as a planner, when you're talking about the issue of complete streets and vulnerable roadway users, a lot of times engineers want to focus on traffic flow and making sure that you have really good traffic flow. And sometimes to put those things in, you're going to impede the speed of traffic, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. We want traffic to go slower, too.
And Bob, real quick.
Yeah, with all due respect, what Art just said sounds to me like no bike lanes on Broadway, and I would say that's unacceptable. It's not the vision that was shared with Build Your Own Broadway, which the Rivard Report and Centro San Antonio and the Pearl and others organized. And if it's because there's going to be on-street parking, that to me is an unacceptable trade-off. You can tell people stopping and dropping people off, whether it's Uber and rideshare or whether it's private, turn onto a side street and drop them off there.
So you think this will hurt the next time the city comes to the community for a big bond package? We'll say, where are the bike lanes we were promised?
I think we're in a big shot right now. Do we do these streets right, and do we do them complete, or do we not?
Okay, we've got to take this break. We'll get to all these callers. We're going to do a lightning call round, 210-614-8980. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies, talking about bike safety and infrastructure, the future of San Antonio. Got a lot of callers here, want to give them a voice. And so Brenda, hi, welcome for calling. Well, thanks for calling in. You're on the air, Brenda.
Hi, I had a question with regard to the population that we're discussing. So everyone says, these cyclists, it's their choice, they're out there, they have options, but for financial, medical, or legal reasons, driving is not an option for some of our citizens and residents. And how that is being overlooked. These people need to get to work, school, they need to get to the grocery store, and they can't do that safely.
All right, Brenda, thank you for that. So people who bike for necessity, I think also the question of biking as a matter of ethics, as we talk about our own personal responsibility in the world. Jeff Moore.
Yeah, for sure. We see a lot of people who are biking and commuting into town on east-west corridors, north-south corridors. It's going to happen at a higher rate. Like I say, the people that are moving downtown, they can afford to drive cars if they want to, but they're choosing to live downtown to bike and walk as a lifestyle, as a way of ethics as well.
And Laurie's called in. Hi, Laurie. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, I am all for safe cycling. And I'm thinking, why, if you are going to make the choice to ride on the roads along with cars and motorcycles and things, I think you should maybe be required to pass a cycling test of sorts, like we do a driver's license test, and then also require a certain amount of insurance, just in case there is an accident. You know, so if it's kind of all about the cyclist, on the other side, but on the other side of the coin, these cyclists also need to take onus in their own safety. And maybe if you put something like that in place, if you are going to ride a bicycle, then you need to pass a test, carry a license,
sure,
be required to have bicycle insurance, and also have the police give them tickets. As a gentleman said earlier, when he was at a stop sign and the bike went through, blah, 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 they need to also follow the same laws as cars.
All right, Laurie, thank you for the call. Bob Rivard, bicycles, should they have to wear like illuminated gear and have big flags on them? Should they have to take out insurance so that they can pay for the paint job that they give to the F-150 truck that hits them?
I think that call was something of a distraction and beside the point. I mean, I certainly advocate for safe cycling, which includes wearing a helmet, being aware of your surroundings and obeying the traffic laws. I don't think I'm ever on a bike or in my own truck without seeing vehicles changing lanes erratically, speeding over the speed limit, and deciding that if I get through the beginning of the red light, that's legal. So we all agree that we want everybody to be law-abiding citizens, and there's going to be a small percentage of people that don't. But no, I don't need to be insured against the eventuality that a truck's going to hit me. I happen to be insured personally, but that should not be a something that you have to do to get on a bicycle.
Do you have a right to ride a bike?
We absolutely do have a right, and it's state law. And maybe the last caller should familiarize herself with Share the Road law, both in statewide and also city ordinances that have been passed that are meant to protect people.
Let's go to another caller. This is Dan. Hi, Dan. Thanks for holding on. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say something that the email people were saying about these greenbelt trails. I'm up on the northwest side, and you can go from Ingram Mall all the way up to the rim and beyond. They're going to connect. This is a lot, millions of dollars. Really great. 10-foot wide. As the other people had said, there's no traffic. There's just bicycles and walkers and stuff. And so what I think they might try to do is when you're integrate the bond issues for these roads into this existing bond deal, so that you know we're going to have a ring all the way or most of the way around San Antonio. Why not put the spokes in, spokes into USAA, spokes into UTSA. I guess it's almost there now, actually. But, into the big employment centers on the northwest side, since it's already there, it should be pretty simple to do that.
Thanks. So connect the dots with the job hubs, with the bike trails. So let's go to Art Reinhardt with the City of San Antonio.
Yeah, that's a great point. I appreciate the caller. Our Parks and Recreation Department has done a fantastic job. Over 65 miles of the linear creekways have been installed. The plan is to get all the way around the city. So what we want to do is get connectivity. We want to get that good east-west connectivity so that you could take a road facility and then drop down into the trails on that. But that gets kind of to the bigger point of our bike master plan and why we need to update it. It was done in 2011, and the elements of that started, really, if you think about it, that's about the time frame of iPhones. And so how much has changed since then? And so we really want to go through a process and update that and really prove out what is feasible and what's not. And that's going to only happen with that good dialogue with the community.
These creek bike lanes, bike trails, not bike trails, they're just trails. They close at dark, right?
Yes.
So is that a problem for this?
Well, absolutely. That's something that has to be looked at through the process. And with that comes more budget needed to have the appropriate folks out there monitoring the trails.
And they weren't really designed to be commuter trails.
They're not necessarily commuter trails, but folks
So, but they're saying they're not wide enough. There's all these other issues. You make them any wider, they basically become a road. So anyway, there's another discussion to be had about that. Let me go to Veronica. Hey, Veronica, thanks for calling in. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, yes, thank you. I'm so glad to be a part of this conversation. So I was wondering, how involved are, the apartments on Broadway's, restaurants, places at the Pearl, and especially, the City Bike and the Bird Scooter, companies? How involved are they in this? They could be doing a lot for petitioning or maybe financing to help these projects, because ultimately they are going to benefit from it financially and otherwise.
Okay, so let's go to Art Reinhardt again.
So we made it almost through the whole show without talking about scooters, so that's great. But in fact, the scooter companies, in that process is being led by our Center City Development Operations Department. And really what that's done is brought a megaphone to the conversation about needing to provide facilities for other modes. And so that's something, like I mentioned previously, we've done and we know about as planners and engineers, but that's helping move that dialogue.
And so let's go to Bob Rivard. You wanted to join that?
I just want to say that the Greenway Trails is one of the true gems of San Antonio.
Howard Peak.
It's been an extraordinary development, and it's named after the guy that envisioned it and deserves it, Howard Peak, our mayor from the 1990s. However, a shared pathway, which means a person pushing a stroller with a baby, senior citizens walking, people on a mountain bike, people on a road bike, that's not a commuter route. And so the Greenway Trails are closed after dark. There's two kinds of principal on-street cycling, David. One is commuting during the day, and one is social riding in the evening after dark. I would argue there are, at this point in downtown San Antonio, more social riders after dark doing things like with Jeff Moore than there are commuters during the day. Commuters are intimidated by the rush hour traffic, and only the bravest or silliest of us are out there riding. For every one of us, there's probably five people saying, I'm not going to ride as a commuter. But social riding after dark is really important. That's on the street. You can't ride on the Greenway Trail. So they're not a substitute for on-street safe cycling.
Okay, and Linda Alvarado-Vela, these trails as a way to, because there are a lot of cities that do have bike highways now, sort of pretty much, you know, St. Mm-hmm. Paul, places like that, and people ride in them all year round. So where are we with that?
So I think that's an excellent point, but we have to recognize that some of the trails were built specifically using some federal funds for ecosystem restoration. So particularly along Mission Reach and some of the other areas, those trails aren't going to be able to be used at night because you have restrictions on lighting in order to restore that ecosystem. So I think that having a bicycle highway would be great for our community, but that's something that we're gonna have to envision from the start and build to that. I also just really quickly wanted to plug that Art mentioned the bike master plan needing updating. We do currently have 28 projects competing for about $60 million in congestion mitigation and air quality funding. People can go and comment on those projects at our website, www.alamoareampo.org/CMAQ. We had a public meeting last night. Only 12 people showed out, and I know showed up for that. And I know that there's a whole lot more folks out there that care about that. Other thing, it's National Bike Month this month, and we have a ton of events, including a Bike Month Challenge, where you can earn some great prizes just by logging your trips. You can get that information at www.alamoareampo.org/bike month. We have the Bike to Work Day event coming up on May 17th, and then Bike Beat on May 18th at Main Plaza.
You mentioned some Energizer stations. What's that?
So Energizer stations is something we started last year along with Bike San Antonio, City of San Antonio, and a whole slew of other organizations. They're held on May 17th, which is our National Bike to Work Day. And what we're doing is we have 10 stations throughout the community where we'll be offering breakfast, coffee, educational items in a cool Bike to Work Day bag that people can take with them. But it's a way of recognizing people who are new or existing bicycle commuters and bringing awareness to the fact that these aren't just a few people out there. We do have quite a few. Last year we had 2 stations, 50 riders went to each of those stations. This year we have 10 stations, including one in the medical center and one out at Brooks and one in the city of New Braunfels. So we're really trying to expand this program. We want to have more stations next year, always looking for partners and sponsors. But we're really excited to see how many cyclists come out because, again, we need to show people it's not a few people that are interested in this. There's really a lot more people out there that want to do this but need that safe, protected, connected bicycle infrastructure to be able to do that.
Okay, and Art Reinhardt with the City of San Antonio, have about 30 seconds. Are people just impatient if they wait, things these things will develop?
Well, San Antonio is arguably the fastest growing city. Our numbers are showing that. We just need to make sure we're not continuing to grow outward and we get that density. But I just wanted to mention, you know, thinking about the show today, I woke up and I no longer think of myself as a traffic engineer. It's more about social engineering, which is a conversation we're having today about really about people and how they move and interact around our city.
All right. Well, I want to thank all of our guests, and that was Art Reinhardt. He's an interim deputy director for the City of San Antonio's Transportation Capital Improvements Department. Bob Rivard, he's an avid cyclist and environmentalist, and editor of the Rivard Report. Jeff Moore, leader of the SATX Social Ride. Linda Alvarado-Vela, she is with the Planning and Public Involvement Program Manager at the Alamo Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.